What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope your week is off to a great start. And on Wednesday, like every Wednesday here, we have a theme. It's Practical Solutions Day. Real solutions to real problems you have. And one of the problems you have is how to onboard new team members. Do you know that 50% of retention is how well you onboard new team members? And most dentists don't onboard team members. They just waterboard them. Don't do that. So today, we're going to give you three ways to make onboarding stick with an amazing coach. Her name is Adriana Booth, and we're going to walk you through each one of those three steps. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. Our jam, if you haven't heard it yet, is to bring you great information from great thinkers, great teachers, amazing coaches to help you improve your practice and your life. And a big topic today is how do we onboard new team members and make it stick where it actually works? And I'll say a little joke before we get started is, most of the time, we don't onboard people. We waterboard them. Don't do that. So we're going to show you today three ways to make onboarding stick with an amazing coach. Her name is Adriana Booth. AB, thanks for being back. I always appreciate you.
Thank you, Kirk. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I love having you here. And for those of you who don't know, like, this is what we do. People still ask me, you know, I have friends of mine. They're like, I still don't know what you do. And so we coach dental practices, and most all the practices we coach, they're not really broken. They're just really great practices. And they get to this ceiling where they're like, I don't know how it could get any better, or we could do any more, or we could have any more in life without working so much harder. So our job is to simplify things and hold you accountable to getting some of these things done. And that's what Adriana does as an amazing coach. And I really want you to share with people the whole onboarding experience. Why is this a huge topic in dentistry?
Oh, Kirk, this is such a great topic. It's so timely. I think I have three clients currently who are onboarding. So this is really fresh for me. And I want to kind of highlight the three areas that we will focus on today so our listeners are prepared. We will talk about why we need to start with purpose. That's one of the three ways. Setting clear expectations and building confidence for that team member that we're onboarding is the second way. And the third is to create belonging and ownership. So those are the top three ways that we can make onboarding stick and create successful new team members for our practices.
Let's dive into each one of them, and you're going to see this is what we do. So let's take this apart. And you'll know this if you're listening. When you do this well, new hires, they feel more confident, they can contribute faster, they're going to engage with patients and ask questions and reinforce the culture. And also when you do this well, because we work closely with Bent Erickson, they say 50% of retention is the onboarding process. So I'm here to tell you, this is crazy important. And when it's poor, new hires, they stay quiet, they make avoidable mistakes, they question the right career move, and you get turnover. So let's start the right way, right, AB?
That's right. Yeah, and I love that. You hit it on the head. And a lot of times the the doctor or manager, whoever does their hiring, will say, oh, it was just a bad hire. But we have to put that mirror up and say, did we just do a bad job onboarding? Because we might have. They might have been a great hire had we given them the right tools.
Yeah, let's go there. So
Let's go.
the first way to make onboarding stick is to start with purpose, like connect to the culture. Tell us more about that.
Absolutely. We all want to feel like we are where we belong, right? So when we start in a new position, a new company, we want to know what the purpose is of that company, of that team. What are their values? How do they behave as a culture in that practice? And how can I integrate into that? So if that's laid out really nicely from day one, we don't have to ask that as a new team member. It's already going to be there. And so the hard work is already done, right? So then we can use tools like our 333 onboarding tool here at ACT to encourage a very nice cadence of, what do we expect them to know in the first 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, to really be able to measure the success of the onboarding and really to learn about the practice in a slow but predictable way.
Yeah. I don't know who originally created the 333. And if you're listening to this, like, shout out to you. I heard it from someone, then I heard it again. I'm like, that is brilliant. Now, think about this. It's a repeatable way to onboard people into your culture. Now, 333, think about this. Things you need to know and be good at the end of 3 days. The things you need to know and be good at the end of 3 weeks, and the things you need to know and be good at the end of 3 months. It allows you very clear guideposts to let people know whether or not they're doing well or not. And you're going to see your favorite team members, people that are really wanting this, they'll move fast. Like somebody good, the first 3 days is like a layup. Where did the doctor go to dental school? What kind of procedures do we do? What days are we open? What are our core values? What does that mean? It's basic stuff. Your best team members will go, okay, I figured this out in one day. Can we go on to the next one? So they can self-pace through this. It's pretty cool. And you're going to find your least engaged team members will be clueless. Like you'll get to day four and you're like, okay, the doctor's name is this and do you know what I mean? So there's just basic stuff. Now, in all fairness to team members aren't given this opportunity. They're just told go. And by osmosis, they learn how things go. One more thing I want to say about the 333 that you added that I think is brilliant. This is a system that you can constantly improve, meaning you get started on it today. It's going to be a little clunky. You're going to get it right. And then you can task every new hire. One of your jobs is to make the 333 better. So every single person you hire for the next 3 decades is going to give you input, feedback, things you missed to improve this process. So it's scalable, it's repeatable, it's constantly improving without you having to improve it. So talk a little bit more like the first starting purpose, like this is big. People think, oh, get to the, but like connect to culture. Can you just talk just a little bit more about that? I love that.
Yeah, so you think about it, hopefully gone are the days that you walk into a new practice as a new team member and they say, oh, maybe sit in the a lunchroom and read through our manual. And it's like, oh, I'm just supposed to hang out by myself all day,
Yeah.
right? Like that's not our culture, and it's, oh no, and poor Susie gets picked on a lot here at ACT, but no, Susie is going to be your onboarding partner. And so I'm going to hang out with Susie today. Susie's going to show me the ropes. And I am going to see by interacting with another team member, when I'm reading the core values and core purpose, I'm looking around, I'm like, I'm watching it in action.
Yeah.
So that team member is also going to help guide me. And they are also going to be able to point out, like, okay, that's one of our values in motion.
Yeah.
Hey, this is one of our core purpose, our vision for the practice. You can kind of see it starting to unfold. And that's going to help that team member really integrate and grab a hold of that value and vision as well.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. This is so important. And one of the things we do here, you can do it your own ways, but we have like core values everywhere. And whether or not I'm doing it, which I don't do it anymore, but team members, they'll take you on a tour and they'll explain like this core value means this. And if you were an employee here, a team member here, you would see on Mondays, we have our team meeting And everyone puts their hand in on the Zoom call and we have to shout out a core value. And it's usually led, the conversation is led by a team member. Now, you might think that's hokey or it's weird. I actually did. We had a coach come in and go, you're going to do this because you're going to make these core values come alive. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do this for like a couple of weeks and then we're going to stop. That was years and years ago. And the point is this, is that in those first couple of days, when we're onboarding something, you are not just saying these are important. You're showing people like what we do here is way bigger than work. People say it all the time, but this next generation, the current generation, and the generation after all of them, everybody's looking for purpose in work, meaningful work. We spend 30% of our lives at work. My hope is you're just not telling people about the job. You're telling them about what this means. This, you know, I tell people this isn't a job. This is a calling. It's a responsibility. You know, this is where you can lean into the why behind what we do. Don't you think, AB?
I love that. And I love our core value shout outs. And it's such a nice constant reminder of them. And in our coaching process, we ask our teams to do the same thing at their weekly team meetings. You know, what core values showed up? You know, keep track of them.
Right.
So that way we can see, you know, is we before me showing up every week? Man, we're nailing it. We go 4 or 5 weeks and we don't see one of ours show up. We might think,
right,
is that really a core value?
Yeah. It's so cool. Yeah, it's the most important thing you'll ever do. And some of you guys already think we're hokey because we always talk about this stuff, but it's my favorite thing when other team members talk about it. It's so cool. I'm like, they're coming alive. So that's number one is, you know, start with purpose. Don't just start with the job, but we're going to make a strong connection to the culture, the why, this team. You know, things I say to new team members, and I just said it to one recently, a newer team member. I'm like, you come first. Like, no client will come first. And you can say that. As a dentist, you can say, hey, listen, team members come first. The point is, you're laying the groundwork for how we do what we do, and it's all connected to purpose. Number two is setting clear expectations. Now, that's one of my favorite words, is expectations and building confidence. Walk us through that, AB.
Yeah, so now that we have, you know, onboarded in the part of core value, core purpose, I know I belong here. Now, what am I going to do here? So I need to know what the clear expectations of my role, tasks, job duties are going to be here in this practice so that I can confidently achieve them.
Right.
So when you think about hiring for, let's just say, a scheduling coordinator, and someone shows up, they've accepted the position, and now you switch it up and you say, oh, no, now you're the you're billing director. And they're like, what are you talking about? I don't know that job,
yep.
You know? So we have to make sure where we start is where we end. So when we say, Kirk, you are now the billing coordinator. You are now the patient coordinator. Kirk's face is the best. You know, that's where we want to make sure we are clear. And Kirk, what is your famous being clear is?
Yeah, clear is kind. Let me add some, you know, it's one of my favorite things. Like, don't try to be nice in this. And I'm not telling you to be mean. Just be clear. Because what you do is you're nice. And what it does is it gets cloudy. You say, oh, not a big deal, but it is a big deal. So try to say more with fewer words. So I like the whole idea of being clear is kind. One more thing I'll add about expectations. You can do what you want, but you're going to create this internal dialogue. And one of the internal dialogues we have here is E minus R equals C. Expectations minus reality equals conflict. All of our team members know it. We teach it. We talk about it. The only time we'll ever run into conflict between you and me, a team member, is when expectations and reality aren't met. Now, sometimes expectations can be too high. Sometimes reality can be, you know, too low, whatever, but it gives us a diagnostic tool to see where the conflict may or may not be coming from. You can also do regular check-ins with team members, which I'm highly going to recommend. A check-in is just when you sit down, you'll see all this back in the Best Practice Association. Business high, business low, personal high. Well, you start with a personal high, personal low, business high, business low. You know, what can leadership help you with? What are some of the three things that you're working on? And naturally, it's a regular system where team members in the onboarding process can tell you how they're doing, saying, I'm not understanding this or I'm not getting this. And you're like, I'm so glad you told me that Because all too often we get so far down the line and we're like, they're not cutting it. Well, they haven't given a chance to cut it or hit the mark or ask questions. And that's why the clarity is so important in this stage around expectations. What else would you add?
That's where we're still weaving that 3-3-3 onboarding model in through this. So that also sets the new team member up for what milestones are they going to have to hit to make sure they feel confident and we feel confident in that they are the right fit for that role or position. And it also builds their confidence. So if I know by the end of my three days, 3 weeks, 3 months, I've hit all of my markers. I've gotten great feedback from my lead, my boss, my manager. I know, wait, I'm feeling pretty successful here. I'm really confident. Right. And if they ask me to take on more, I think I can do it successfully. And we're not encouraging, oh, just keep adding more to someone's plate, but it could be a little higher level responsibility than maybe you even realized they were capable of when you hired them. So confidence and trust can really go a long way. And I think we can set each person up that way if we follow the 3-3-3.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing with the 3-3-3, if it isn't written down, it doesn't exist. You know, so I think it's really important. And also being consistent, meaning when you're doing check-ins, you show up on time. When you're doing huddles, you're showing up on time. You can also coach your team members. This is where it's so cool in this phase is like, I don't like the idea of me being your boss, even though that's technically true. I like being your coach, meaning bring questions. I like to tell team members, my favorite people are the curious ones. People that are like, how do you do that? Where did this start? Like, I have a question about what happened today. Can I ask you? And if you can organize all those thoughts into one, you know, document or something like that, where we're talking about them on a regular basis, you're going to see, you're going to build trust. You're going to see team members are going to learn a lot. They're going to feel very well supported by you. So having all of this is not only beneficial for the team member, it's beneficial for the practice. It's also beneficial for the leader so that the leader's in a feedback loop about what's happening in their practice because, let's face it, a lot of people, they don't really know what's going on. So it's awesome when you can do the second stage of this, which is setting clear expectations, and ultimately it builds confidence. Now,
absolutely.
The third way to do it is to create some belonging and ownership. Now, this is a big one, but like, take us through this, AB.
It is, because I think even just in our general society and feel, there's a lot of feelings of loneliness. You know, it's on all the podcasts that we listen to, and we're podcast junkies as well, like you are. When you feel like you belong to a group and you feel like you are actually part of that group, there is the bonuses that you get as a business and that person gets as a team member will grow exponentially. They are going to want to stay there and be a forever part of your team as long as your team is in existence, right?
Right.
And that is in itself just a great feeling. It's a great feeling that you can provide being the practice owner. And it's a great feeling when you get that feedback from a team member, like, I love it here. It's great here.
Right.
You know, I just really like all my coworkers.
Yeah. It's awesome.
You know, you're doing something right.
Right. Yeah. And that's big when people feel seen, heard, and valued in this whole process. I think the worst thing you can do is be busy. Like, busy is a focus issue. And when you're busy with a whole bunch where you can't even say hi to your team members in the morning or a huddle, I'm a big fan of the huddle. I know there's a lot of people that don't have a huddle, but the huddle becomes the perfect opportunity. The huddle is for patient care. You know, a weekly team meeting is for practice care. When you as a leader make a commitment to being on time and being engaged during those things, you're going to see people are going to feel very valued, very heard, very seen, and you're going to seem very calm in that whole process. Don't be the dentist that's coming in with a coffee cup 10 minutes late going, what's going on today? Sorry, I was so busy. I got this thing. No, got to be on time. Ask people questions. I make it a point to stop at every office here. And some, I'm like, hey, and then they're like, okay, go away. I'm working. Like, drink decaf. But I think it sets the tone for, yeah, I value you. I see you. And even Tom, our accountant here, he's not, you know, he's semi-retired, but he's amazing. And he's here 2 days a week. I feel so bad when I don't get a chance to talk to him. I'm like, Tom, what's going on? And even if I can't talk to him, I'm making, but the point is this, like, make sure people feel good about being in your office, and you can ultimately start to create that belonging and ownership. Now, it also goes back to having a consistent roadmap. So when you have this roadmap, you have the 333, you have a check-in process, and this podcast isn't about this topic, but we have a right person, right seat scorecard. You can give people continuous feedback. One more thing I'll add to this as far as successful onboarding goes. You only hire people for two reasons. Number one, they fit your core values, which you're covering in the first element of this. Like, we're going to talk about purpose. And the second reason you hire them is they get results, which is the second piece of this. So as you can see, three ways to make onboarding stick. Number one, we're going to talk about culture, core values, how we behave, how we work together, what this means. And the second piece is what's expected to from you, you know, in your role every single day. And the right person, right seat scorecard just basically covers those. We use a score of 0, 1, 2. So 0 below expectations, 1 meeting expectations, and 2 exceeding expectations. So now you're giving people clear feedback on whether or not they're hitting the mark. And so you can use all of these tools to create a great experience for your team. But what else would you add about the third piece, AB, about creating belonging and ownership? Because again, that's a big one.
And I just think that if we can master that piece, then you will have a committed team member who, you know, does okay with the challenges and the speed bumps that can come along in every team and every practice. Yeah. And they are going to be more committed to helping not only you and the practice thrive, but their coworkers as well. They become very relied on. They become very valued even by their other peers, not just by you.
Right. Yeah. Totally agree. And I can't say it enough, but regular people don't understand. Like, one of the most important things about leadership that I've learned the hard way is just consistency. And I know, again, I'll go back to the whole, people don't like to do meetings because meetings aren't great. Well, I'm here to tell you, if done well, they are fantastic. And you can have simple check-ins where a new team member feels very much included in the conversation. If you don't slow down enough to have meaningful meetings, they're going to feel excluded, isolated, not engaged. I don't really know what's going on. I work with this woman, but we don't really know each other, you know. And you can get ultimately what you're seeking for as a leader is you can feel like we're all closely connected as friends, but we're also very productive and it's very healthy here. I've done it the other way where I want to work with my buddies, so I'm going to make them all my friends first. So there's no expectations. And you can imagine how that ends. You need both. You need people to like you, and you also need them to respect you. And it's not so much respecting you, it's respecting the structure, the organization. And that's why onboarding is so important. So,
yeah, you're right.
Any other thoughts, AB?
Well, I think, you know, we can talk also about the flip side. You know, when it's done well, like you said, it's going to be, they're part of something bigger. They're more productive. They feel valued. They feel heard. It's just the right thing to do as a business owner, right?
Right.
But if it's done poorly, we also know what happens. Yep. People don't feel valued. They feel overwhelmed. They may have a very negative attitude. They lose trust in not only the practice, but maybe their coworkers and the business owner. And then what are they going to do next? Go look for another job.
Right.
So we're back at the starting point. And that's where we don't want to be. We want to do it right the first time.
Right.
Get it as right as we can. Be consistent. Show up. Use our 333. Use your right person, right seat. Do our check-ins. And we'll have much more successful onboarding.
Absolutely. I have one crazy story about onboarding from a friend of mine. And I'll weave it back in here. So friend of mine, he got a job working for an amazing pharmaceutical company, one of the very top. And he tells the story. He's like, Kirk, do you know what onboarding looks like in other businesses? I'm like, no. He goes, I got my previous job by flying to Denver. He was married and had little kids at the time. So on Monday morning, he walks into a room. There are 100 people in there. And the facilitator said, there are 100 of you here today. It is Monday. On Friday, there will be 10 of you. What we are going to do is train from morning to night on all of these prescriptions, names, effects, like all, I don't even know. He was explaining to me the protocols. And at the end of the day, or actually in the morning, that's what he said. In the morning, you had to test out. And every morning, get this, AB, you had to bring your luggage down from your hotel and you had to put it along the wall. And there were buses outside. This is true. Like, this is crazy. I was like sweating. He's like, so every day, people were leaving. You had to score a certain number to move on, to survive in advance. God. So he told me, he's like, I was calling my wife. I'm like, okay, you got to figure that out. Like, there's no going to the bar for me. Like, I am up all night studying. He made it through to Friday as one of the final 10. But he told this to me. He's like, Kirk, I was ready to go to work on Monday. Like, I didn't know anything about pharmaceuticals, but man, I knew a lot and I was helpful. I went to work. I knew exactly what to do on Monday. Now, that's the horror story. We're not in that industry, so be thankful. Okay.
Yes.
But the point is this, an onboarding process that's done well will help people be effective sooner. You don't have to do it that fast, but you can create something simple. This is why I don't like the 100 people down to 10 in 5 days. I like the 3-3-3 where you can take somebody, bring them into your culture. Dentistry is the most amazing profession ever. And if you can create a system and you can use AB's treatment plan by starting with purpose, connect to the culture. Number two, set really clear expectations and build confidence with this team member. And number three, create belonging and ownership. And you can do that relatively fast, probably in the first 3 weeks to 3 months. You're going to see a team member that feels engaged, connected, and probably, if they make it all the way through, one of your favorite. So, AB, thank you so much for being on. Gosh, this is such a big topic. Now, some of you are like, what's the 333? So here's the cool thing. We love this stuff. Thank you for showing up or listening to the podcast. And we have a ton of tools back there. One of the tools we have back in the BPA is the 333 onboarding tool. You can actually go back in the Best Practices Association app today. Now, you can start the journey for free. Then you can obviously upgrade where you'll find more solutions to the problems that you're having. And one of the tools back there is the 333 onboarding tool. You'll see how it works. You'll see videos back there on how to use it. And that's for the BPA premium members. You can also, you heard me mention the check-in. You'll find the check-in tool back there where that's also accessible for the BPA premium members. And if you're just struggling with any of this, don't struggle. Our first goal here is to be a helpful organization. We want to help you. So you can contact Courtney on our team, who is our chief therapist here, and she'll just listen to you and help you along the way. And her email address is courtney@actdental.com. So, AB, thank you again. I always appreciate
you.
Awesome.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show podcast. I hope you enjoyed that. And I hope you understand how important onboarding is and you're not waterboarding your team members. Again, don't do that. So we're here to help you, support you with over 900 episodes and 98,000 unique listeners. I don't even know how that works. We're going to keep bringing it with 9,000 more episodes because we can talk about this stuff all day long. Dentistry is the greatest profession ever. And our job is to bring great information, help you think better, and create a better practice and better life. So keep showing up, and we'll keep bringing it. So until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it, another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.